Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello, English learners, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Level Up English podcast. My name is Michael, and today I'm joined by teacher Tika, who really kindly agreed to come on, and she is a great teacher who I connected with on Instagram. Her page is Tika Teaches English, quite simple, and her Instagram page has really blown up since I've been following her. I think when I first followed her, maybe she had a couple thousand followers, and now she has got well over 100,000. She has surpassed me, my follower count as well. And it's really well deserved because her content is fantastic and she really makes really, really good engaging posts over there. So I recommend you check out her page on Instagram if you have Instagram. And what I find interesting about Tika and her situation is that she has moved away from her home country of England. She is a native English teacher. And now she's living in South Korea. So I think it's really interesting to talk about these differences. You know, I've never been to South Korea, but it's fun to hear about her experience there. So we begin with an introduction and we talk about Tika's work and how it's progressing at the moment. We talk about how long she's been away from the UK, her experiences in South Korea, what it's like. We also talk about the honeymoon period and how long that lasted. If you don't know what I mean by this, listen to the main episode to find out in a minute. We also talk about her favorite and least favorite things about living in South Korea, what she likes and dislikes. We talk about the language, how she's handling the Korean language as well, culture shock, things that have surprised her from moving there. And finally, we talk a little bit about what she misses about the UK. People like to complain about the UK a lot, about the weather and the food, but I kind of want to ask what she misses, what she really wants to come back and see again. And then I take advantage of her time on the private podcast, which comes out this Friday, and ask her about some embarrassing situations, embarrassing mistakes that she has made when trying to speak Korean. And that's really funny to hear. So stick around for that on Friday. And this is only available for members, which you can become if you go to levelupenglish.school and click on that members button. Or you can just go in the podcast description on your app, click on that link to learn more. And if that isn't so interesting for you, then maybe you are interested in free lessons. I've been putting this link in all of the podcast episodes as well. There should be a link for free lessons. You can type in your email, get access to 5 free classes on Level Up English. And you also get signed up to my emails where I give you free lessons and updates twice a month as well. But okay, well, I really hope you enjoy this episode. Let's get into it now with Tika. Hello, English learners, and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast. I am joined today by a special guest, Tika, calling
Hello,
from
everybody.
Korea. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for taking some time out of your day. Is it the end of your day now?
Not quite the end. It's 5 p.m. here, so it's late afternoon, I would say.
I think you said before to me that you, is it right that you like to do a lot of lessons late in the evening or no?
Yeah, I guess if we're going on by a working day, it's the middle of my day. I typically start about lunchtime and finish about 10 or 11 p.m. So for me, it's maybe the middle of my day.
Okay, wow. So you're a night owl then, I guess.
Fully a night owl. I hate mornings. Don't talk to me in the morning. Talk to me at night.
It's probably just as well that we are on very different time zones because I'm totally the opposite. It's morning where I am now. If it's any time after like 5 p.m., I'm just gone. I can't think about anything. So we're totally opposite then.
Well, I used to be a morning person, but I have vastly changed, I guess. And I'm the complete opposite now. I hate waking up early. Previously, I loved it. I love, maybe not love, I just typically go to bed quite late. And previously, midnight, I was gone by midnight. Now midnight's not a late time for me at all.
Midnight's very late for me, but yeah, to each their own.
Sure. Well, for me, more like 2 a.m. That's kind of getting a bit late for me.
Okay. But yeah, it depends where you live, doesn't it? I mean, in the UK, as you know, nothing's happening at that time. You have to sleep, otherwise there's nothing to do. Like, nothing's open, right?
Yeah, everything closes, what, like 5:30 p.m., 6 p.m. if you're lucky. Yeah, you need to go to bed early because, like you said, there's nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, where are you from in the UK? Because obviously we've spoken a little bit before, but this is our first time actually chatting kind of face-to-face. So where are you from originally? I can't place your accent.
I think I've got a very neutral accent. I typically clear it up. I make it clearer. I enunciate a bit better for anything where my voice is being recorded or lessons. I lived, and I'm from a place in England called Nottingham, or Nottinghamshire to give its full name, which is basically in the middle of England. We have the East and the West Midlands in England. Nottinghamshire is in the East Midlands. So I'm kind of just smack bang in the middle. My mum was from, kind of grew up in Croydon, so she has more of a southern English accent. My dad, I can't describe my dad's accent. My dad has a very common accent, I would say. He doesn't enunciate clearly. So I'm kind of a mix of the two accent-wise. But yeah, I'm from Nottingham.
Interesting. Okay. I used to live not too far from Croydon before I moved out of London. But I've never been to Nottingham before. Do you have like fond memories there? Do you recommend it to people? Or is it a bit boring? Like, what's going on there?
I guess it depends what you're into, really. So Nottingham, if people know, and I'm sure you know him, Michael, is famous for Robin Hood. Robin Hood is from Nottinghamshire. So there's lots of Robin Hood, like little landmarks. You have like Sherwood Forest, which is a very beautiful forest. And they often have every year, pre-COVID and maybe again now, have like the Robin Hood Festival, which is great fun. As a city, it's not anything special, but I think there's like a nice castle and other outdoor activities. If you're an outdoors person, it's a good place. If you want to go shopping, not so great.
Okay, you sold it to me then. Okay, I'd like to go see that, the forest and the castles. It sounds quite nice then. Okay.
Yeah, it's a
future trip for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wanted to also ask you about teaching. So how long have you been teaching now, and how did you get into it? How did you find this job?
I've been teaching around 3 years now. I think I started around this time or just before this time 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago. So I've always loved working with people, and for the longest time, I've had many friends that are not English speakers. I don't know if people know this that maybe follow me. I love playing video games, and part of playing video games, you connect with people online. I even used to live stream video games. So you connect with people from all around the world. So a mixture of them saying that my voice was very clear and easy to understand. And also, for people that don't know, my husband is not a native English speaker. He is Korean. He and my friends all together were just like, Tika, you could teach people English. Your accent's very clear. Your speed is great, etc., etc. And I just started. I used to work a completely different job and teach at the same time, and then gradually moved purely just into teaching. But other people suggested it to me first.
Okay, interesting. Okay, I think for me it was kind of, I guess obviously we all get the idea from somewhere, but for me it was my idea. You know, I guess I was inspired somehow, but then other people were surprised. Well, that's a weird thing to do, Michael. But for you, it was the other people actually kind of gave you that idea. Interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it
until
people suggested it. So it was definitely other people planting that idea in my mind and not me producing that idea myself.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Have you always just been teaching online, or has it ever been a classroom thing for you?
So I started basically just as COVID did. So
Okay.
Basically, I started the same time as COVID. So 99% of my lessons are online, partly because I teach people from multiple different countries or even different parts of England that are not quick to access from where I lived. Because of COVID, of course, as well, that didn't help. I currently just teach a few different people offline, but I go to their houses or a kind of study cafe. So maybe in the future, I'll move more towards maybe group classes offline, but trying to fit online and offline together is quite complicated. But I love offline lessons. They're quite fun to physically be there with someone.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a nice break as well if you're sitting behind your computer all day, and then to actually go out and meet someone, you get some other benefits, social benefits as well.
For sure. Yeah, and even ignoring the social benefits, you just need to go outside sometimes. Yeah. When you work at home, you don't realize until after a few days that I'm like a dog. I get really stressed if I don't go outside for a few days. Mm-hmm. So meeting those students and having to go outside is really good for me to get some air and to just move and have some real social interaction.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing. Well, it's not the hardest, but it's a hard thing. I've tried to be really strict about forcing myself to go out every day. I don't go anywhere. I just walk around, just listen to a podcast, take a walk, something like that. But I just think it's so important for everyone to get some fresh air, hopefully, if you're not in a big, bad city, or some, sunlight maybe. And it's not easy to do that if you're just working away. You have to really push yourself to do it sometimes.
Oh, for sure. I love being outside, but sometimes I think to myself, I don't really have time to go outside.
Yeah,
actually, like you said, I need to, and I do push myself, like even just for 10 minutes. Like you said, a big city, the air, some days in Korea, the air isn't particularly clean. We have air pollution here, and you have to wear a kind of thicker mask to go outside. But it's just the feeling of a breeze and the sun. I think everybody just needs it for their mental health, really.
100%, yeah. That's a whole nother conversation about how the lockdown affected people and stuff like that too, but maybe that's for another time.
Yeah, that's all the doom and gloom of lockdowns,
Well, let's talk about Korea. So how long have you been in South Korea now?
I only moved here in January, so kind of it's 6 and a bit months really. I should have moved here a couple of days after Christmas, but actually I got COVID, so I had to postpone my flight.
Terrible
timing. Tested positive the day before my flight.
Oh no.
I had to postpone my flight by almost a month because I kept testing positive for a long time. So since the end of January, so not particularly long, but it's not my first time. I have visited many times before.
Wow. Okay, but it's your first time living there.
Yeah, living in a different country. I've never lived in a different country
amazing
before. Yeah,
so
I picked
exciting
one far away from home, my first experience, and I go big or go home. I was like, let's move the other side of the world.
It's kind of what I did when my first ever solo trip. Like, so the travel was to Japan for 1 month.
Wow,
it was like completely in the deep end. It's kind of exciting when it's like that, when it's, you know, it's kind of like a sink or swim situation. Like, either you're going to succeed and do really well or fail, and you kind of have to push yourself to make it work because getting home isn't so easy.
Yeah, it's kind of that adrenaline rush of doing something so scary. Uh-huh. Like, the first time I ever traveled by myself, and my husband, but then boyfriend, met me here. So the career part of it, when I landed here, I didn't have to worry. But even prior to visiting Korea for the first time, I had never been on a plane on my own.
Oh, wow.
I had never been to Heathrow Airport, because East Midlands has an airport. I had only traveled for a few hours on a plane. I'd never had airplane food. So many firsts. And you feel quite proud of yourself when you do it. Like, I did this by myself. I had to get the train from Nottingham, then the tube. Never used the tube by myself. Had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I got here. I did it. Oh my gosh. It felt really good.
I relate to that so much. Just like being able to navigate the world somehow on your own. Yeah. It's a great feeling, and making it, you know, safely to another country is fantastic. And I think you answered my other question I was going to ask too. So it sounds like your interest in Korea came before meeting your husband, right?
Yeah, I had some friends that had started learning Korean, and I just was like, it looks interesting. I was kind of listening to some Korean music at the time, had just started listening to it. So I liked the music. The language looked interesting, but also very difficult. But why not challenge ourselves? I thought, I'll have a challenge. So I started learning Korean, and the rest is history. Now I'm here.
Amazing, amazing. So I think it's quite an interesting time. It's been about 6 months since you've been to the UK, I guess. I imagine, as you said, it's your longest time that you've been away from your home country, right?
For sure, yeah. The longest I visited Korea last year. You're allowed to come for like 90 days without a visa. So I visited last year for about 2.5 months. But yeah, this is the longest I've ever been away from England.
That's so cool. So I wanted to kind of tap into that a bit today. Like, is there anything that you are missing about England right now? Anything that you're getting a bit homesick of or something like that?
Dairy milk. I miss chocolate. Okay. Yeah, I miss the chocolate, of course. I think, you know, other than the typical things like my family, the one thing I miss, and I think anybody listening that has lived abroad or is living in a different country, I miss knowing how to do things. In England, I'm very independent. You know, I can book a dentist appointment, go to the dentist, do anything by myself. I can't do that here because I don't know what I need to do, what I need to say. You are constantly having to relearn everything that you know in your home country. I had to go to the dentist last week, and the dentist was so nice, and he did speak some English, but it's quite scary doing something medical as well in a foreign country, like giving them your trust. But knowing how to do stuff independently is something that I miss about England, knowing where to go and what to do.
That's a really good point that I think a lot of people might not realize until they go abroad. And of course, it's the same here. I imagine there's a lot of like the systems we have in the UK in terms of like booking a dentist appointment or something. It's not always that easy. You have to kind of know how it works before you do it. And I imagine people probably just assume that everyone knows, and they don't, you know, you have to actually seek help. People don't necessarily make it easy for you to find out how to do these things.
Yeah. And just like for people that maybe move to England, the same for me, everything is in the language of that country. So even if you understand the language a bit, navigating what you need to do is so much more complicated because you need to understand it in that country's language. And it's just so hard sometimes. And it's so frustrating just thinking, I need to do this, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
But if I were in England right now, I could do this in a heartbeat. It would be so easy to do it. So losing my independence a bit is something I miss a little bit.
But I imagine on the other side, you're having those little feelings of accomplishment every time you do something. Like you book a dentist appointment and it's like, yes, I did it. And that feeling when you actually traveled abroad. Mm-hmm. Now you're having those little feelings every day, maybe, which is
for everyone, it's like ordering your first coffee or asking for help and understanding something, having a little conversation. And even if you make a mistake, you get that feeling of confidence, like, oh, I did it. It wasn't perfect, but I know I can do it again in the future and it will be even better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a lot of firsts, first time on the bus, first time doing this, first time doing that. You constantly have that little buzz of like, yes, I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. I'm kind of jealous of that because I think it helps life not be boring. If you know how to do everything and it's just always the same, it gets a bit dull, but I think it's always something new, which is exciting.
Yeah, and scary. It's always something new. If something in the apartment starts to break, or if someone rings the doorbell and it's only me here, I'm like, what do I do? What do I say? So exciting and scary at the same time.
Do you think the person at the door might be panicking too when they see you and they see that you're not Korean? It's like, oh no, do I have to speak English?
We have the yes and no. I'll tell you a story in a second. Yeah, but we have the camera. You know, like in England, you have the Ring doorbells if people listening know Ring. If not, we have the one where I can see them outside or downstairs. I live in an apartment or a flat now, but they can't see me. Mm-hmm. So if I answer in Korean, they probably can guess that I'm English from my accent. No, they can't guess that I'm not Korean, maybe, until they come upstairs. In the street, I had an experience where someone was going round, like a charity person was talking to everyone, and she tapped me on the shoulder from, she was behind me. And when I turned around, she walked away.
Oh no.
Because she was like, this person's not Korean. Oh my gosh, what do I do? So she said, she was like, oh, sorry. Like she was speaking in Korean, but she said kind of sorry.
Yeah.
And then walked away and found a Korean person instead.
Oh, that's awkward.
Some people panic. Yeah.
I suppose it's easy for some to maybe be insulted by that, but it's probably more about her, isn't it? Like she's afraid of talking English. And
It didn't bother me. I thought it was quite funny. Like it was good. I hate talking to people that I don't know. So for me, it was like, yes, I don't have to talk to these random people because they don't want to talk to me. They don't feel comfortable because they don't know if I can speak their language. So win-win for me. I could get out of speaking to a random person on the street.
That's a nice hidden benefit, yeah.
Yeah, secret benefit there.
Yeah. I wanted to mention this phrase, like honeymoon period, which is interesting. So I suppose it comes from when you get married, right? Mm-hmm. You go on your honeymoon, and at the start of your marriage, everything's exciting and fresh and new. And then maybe this shouldn't always happen, but sometimes maybe things will get a bit stale. You might get a little bit bored. It's not as exciting anymore. And then the honeymoon period is over. Mm-hmm. But for the English learners listening now, we can also use this phrase for other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like moving to a new country, you have a honeymoon period where it's all exciting and new. And you've been there for about half a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if your previous travel has affected this as well, but did you have like a honeymoon period, and is it over? Is it still going on? Like how do you feel about life there now?
I think it's so weird when you move to another country, and I don't know if other people that also move to other countries would feel this or not. I think weirdly in your mind, you don't feel like you've moved to another country for quite a long time. You almost feel like you're visiting. And especially because before I came for nearly 3 months. So in your head, for quite a long time, and I don't have this now, but for the first few months, in my head, it was like I was just visiting, and in a few months, I will kind of go back home. And it didn't really click in my mind that I live here now. I also think it's difficult when you move to another country because you have lots of paperwork to do. Like, I had to register myself quite early on as a resident, had to go to the, like, I can't think what it's called, but like the office where you register yourself. It has a name and I can't remember it. But anyway, I had to register myself as a resident. I had to open a bank account, had to do this and that, etc. So it's almost a bit stressful when you first move somewhere. So I think the honeymoon period starts maybe a month or two after you arrive, because the first part, to use the phrase, you have to hit the ground running, because you can't just move here and chill out, or any country. There's so much to do. Like England, you need a bank account, you need to register yourself loads of places. So it's quite stressful when you first move to another country.
Yes, so much to consider. That's interesting. Okay, so you did have that feeling then once you settled in.
Yeah,
Of that maybe excitement and that, oh, this is cool, I'm actually here. You kind of, it's the feeling sinks in, we can say. You finally realise. Have you got more used to it now? Is it just kind of like normal life for you? Or do you still go outside and be like, wow, I forgot I was here, like that feeling?
I think you get used to it because you kind of forget the feeling of your home country. Like after a while, like, of course I don't forget England, but I kind of forget what it feels like to live there. It's kind of, at first it feels like you're visiting, for example, felt like I was visiting Korea and England was like going back home for me. But now it feels the opposite. It feels kind of like this is now my home. And when I go to England, I'm just visiting. So it's this weird transition. And I can't pinpoint exactly when it was. But I kind of walk outside now and it's just like, oh, I live here. This is where I live. This is my town. I know where everything is, kind of. So yeah, it feels quite normal for me here now, not so weird.
Yeah, home is where your heart is, right?
Yeah, my heart is split between two homes, maybe. I've got two hearts in two different places.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I like that. I like that description. I want to ask favorites now. Like, what is one of your favorite things about Korea?
I can probably answer favorite and least favorite part of Korea.
Yeah, let's do that.
In one thing, because in a good way, Korea is very quick, very efficient. Everything is done very efficiently and very quickly. But also on the flip side, British people are so slow. And I've had to speed up so much to fit with that lifestyle in Korea. So just talking about positives, for starters, except not at the minute, Korea's much sunnier than England. Mm-hmm. It's not so cloudy compared to England, but it's very efficient, very convenient. If you miss a bus, very quickly another one comes. If you miss a bus in England, you're waiting like an hour sometimes for the next one, and then that one doesn't come. So the efficiency and the weather, except summer's very humid. Typically the weather is much nicer than England too.
That's funny. I laughed when you said that because I can, right behind my screen here, I've just got a window and it's not even like raining. It's drizzle, you know, it's drizzling.
Yeah, it's drizzling.
It's cloudy, it's misty. I can't see any of the horizon. It's just all misty. It's just that kind of depressing, cloudy day. And I miss the sun, even though we had a heat wave last week, but I want it to come back.
You want that 40 degrees back again.
Yeah, better than this, right?
Yeah, to be honest, it's really rainy in Korea at the minute. Okay. Korea has like rainy seasons, whereas England is just rainy in general. So most of the time it's much bluer than this outside, but currently it's just rainy. Today it's horrible, really drizzly. Drizzle, heavy rain, drizzle, and that wind that swirls. So you can't have an umbrella because no matter which way you put it, it goes inside out.
Okay, so I don't have to feel too bad about the weather here then. It's not any better where you are by the sounds of it.
No, it's exactly the same here. We're sharing the weather today.
Yeah,
much warmer, possibly. It's like 28 degrees right now.
Okay, yeah, let me check here. Because it's crazy. We had like a heat wave last week. It was 14. Now it's like 19. So it goes right down, yeah.
England's weather is just so crazy, really.
Very changeable.
It just jumps from one. Yeah, very changeable. It's like jumps from one extreme to the next, really.
I think that's it. I think after traveling to a few different countries, I feel like people often say the weather here is bad. I don't think that's true. I just think it's changeable. Like you can have hot and cold, snow and sun all in the same day sometimes. Mm. And I think that's probably quite rare for most countries. I think that's the main thing. It's changeable in my view.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to tell people, or for example, when I visit England, it's kind of hard to know what to pack. It's probably easier if you live in England, or maybe not if you're going out for an entire day. But visiting England in September, for example, maybe it will be sunny all September, maybe it will rain, might be freezing cold, might be boiling hot. You never know what clothes to pack for that type of, I don't know, that part of autumn in England is so weird. You just don't know what to bring with you.
Yeah, bring everything. Yeah.
Just bring everything. I always say to people, just bring layers. Yeah, bring a t-shirt and a jacket and a raincoat and a hat and a sun hat and a winter hat. You don't know what to expect in months like September.
Good to be prepared for sure.
Very, yeah.
I also wanted to ask, I think I asked you before what you miss about the UK, but I wanted to ask, is there anything you don't miss? Because I know you mentioned already it's people are slow, it's not so efficient here, you wait a long time for transport. But is there anything else that comes to mind that like you are really happy you don't have to experience anymore here?
Not particularly. I wouldn't say there's anything that I inherently don't like about England. If I compare England and Korea, I feel like the food is much better in Korea. You know, there's a stereotype, English food's not so good. Some of it's okay, but I think the quality is higher in Korea with the food and its flavors. There's nothing that I really don't like about England. I love the politeness of people. I'm not saying Korean people are impolite. They're definitely not. But, you know, such mannerisms like holding a door for someone doesn't really exist here. Things like that. Those things I miss about England. I can't really think of anything other than the rain that I really
that's
don't
nice.
Like. Yeah.
I think for me, I've never been to Korea, but I have been to Japan, which I presume is quite similar culturally, you know, similar mindset, at least compared to, you know, Europeans. But I think for me, the thing that I tend not to miss is, it's not exactly the feeling of danger, but feeling uncomfortable. Like when I walk down a street and there's like a group of teenagers or some like big, you know, I've got tattoos, but some big tattooed men that look scary. Where when I'm in a lot of countries like Japan, I don't ever get that feeling. Like I never get intimidated by people. Don't look that rough. We say rough, like dodgy, dangerous. Do you get that feeling too? Do you feel safer where you are now?
100% with you saying that it wasn't something I'd thought about, but completely. I think in England, and then also being a woman in England with lots of, over the past few years, recent news stories about women, just, you know, things happening to women that were walking alone in broad daylight. I think I would never walk alone or with another woman, like my sister. I wouldn't walk alone at night when it's getting dark in England. I would in Korea. I feel completely safe. Like you said with Japan, there's a completely different feeling. I would happily walk around my town or even a bigger city alone at night and not feel too worried. Maybe there might be some drunk people, but I don't worry that they're going to hurt me. In England, I don't feel safe walking around at night. Winter's terrible. It gets dark at like 4 p.m.
Yeah,
you have I feel very trapped
home from work
inside.
And it's dark. Yeah.
I used to live in England for quite a few years. My mum like lived here, and I lived literally 2 minutes away in a flat near her house. If I walked home from hers and it was dark, I would speed walk and I would put my keys between my fingers. Wow. And it's like a 2 minute walk. And I lived in a village that was relatively safe, but I just always felt on edge. So yeah, I don't miss that about England. That's a good point.
It's such a shame, isn't it? I mean, it's nice that you feel better where you are now, but it's such a shame that people have to be on edge, you know, looking over their shoulder all the time. Yeah. I think I should mention, I don't know if you would agree, but I think even though it does come up in the news, it's unlikely that things will happen. It's not that common, but sure, it still doesn't hurt to be aware, right?
Yeah. I think, like you said, these things don't regularly happen, or they don't happen as much as to make you like feel like you're in imminent danger.
Yeah.
But because you see them and they're big high profile cases, naturally you start to think that as well. And teenagers in England are just scary. I used to think when I was a teenager, like, why are people scared of teenagers?
Yeah.
But now I'm an adult, it's so different. Like, they hang around in these gangs and they kind of say stuff to you when you walk past them, and they're just intimidating and taller than me. So I just avoid them now. Teenagers in Korea typically are so nice and so quiet. I found, anyway. They're very different.
It's funny. I was thinking just the other day, I think that's a sign that you're an adult. Like, you know when you're a grown-up when you start avoiding teenagers on the street.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, an old person, yeah.
When you start bringing your bag closer to you. No, I don't do that. But I think anyone in a big group feels a bit intimidating if they're quite loud and they seem a bit rude in the way that they're behaving. You naturally feel a bit intimidated. Men, women, teenagers, anyone would intimidate me a bit.
Yeah. Have you seen the TV show The Peep Show before?
Yes.
I love it. I recommend it to students because I think it's good. It's a good one to see kind of like this English culture in some ways.
Sure, yeah.
But there's a really funny scene on that where I think Mark, he's like, he wants to go out, but he's like looking through the letterbox waiting for these teenagers to leave so he can leave the house.
That's me. No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, it's very relatable. No, I don't want to generalize all English teenagers. I know lots of them. Lots of my mum's neighbors are teens.
Yeah.
We were all a teenager one time. But certain groups of teenagers just kind of tar everyone. You know, we paint them all with the same brush because of these groups that every place has that are just like, they vandalize stuff and they're rude and they talk to you in an unkind way and you don't know them. So then you start to think, oh, every teenager is the same.
Generalized.
And they're not. For people listening, you know, English teenagers can be really lovely as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think now would be a good time to slide over to the private podcast episode. I thought we could talk a little bit about language, maybe some embarrassing mistakes, some other Korean mistakes, English mistakes, stuff like that. I would like to ask you, finally, where can people find out more about you? Like, where do you want to send people to find you online?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at Tika Teaches English, T-I-K-A, Tika Teaches English. I upload there almost every day. I do take some days off, though. Currently just Instagram. I'm looking at starting a YouTube channel, but that's still in the works. So keep your eyes out. I'll announce it on my Instagram when I do. But find me on Instagram and follow me, message me, and interact with me on Instagram.
Fantastic. I'll be excited to see the YouTube channel too. That would be a great thing to start.
Yeah, someday when I have some more time. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do. Yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck with it. And thank you for joining me. I really enjoyed chatting with you, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed listening.
Thank you for inviting me on. I've had a good time.
My pleasure. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe in winter time when it's not so hot here.
Okay.
For people listening, I've turned off my fan because it was too loud. Michael didn't tell me, but I checked before. It's too loud. So I'm slowly melting away like ice cream right now. We'll do another one in winter when I'm freezing. Yeah. Inside.
Let's end quickly before you melt. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I hope everybody enjoys this. I've had a good time.
You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.